prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Wow, do we have a fast-moving, full of great information show for you today. During the first half hour, we're going to be joined by my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, to do a branch chain amino acids 101. Then we're going to talk about a broken circadian clock and how it can raise blood pressure and promote disease. Then staying with the sleep discussion, study links irregular sleep schedules to adverse metabolic health in women. And then we're going to finish up with something that's going to shock you. How yoga may be impacting glaucoma. This entire show, four topics, all under the heading of Science for Humans. So we have a fast-moving show with lots of great information. Hope you can stay with us. If you can't listen live, hope you can listen to the podcast later. But without further ado,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
So this morning, Dr. Jeff and I did a mic check, and I couldn't hear him and then realized that I had my headphones turned off. Hope that's no indication about how the rest of the day is going to go, Dr. J.
Oh, you know, that's kind of one of the common things. Make sure it's turned on first,
yeah.
Right?
Make sure it's plugged in before you call,
yeah, exactly.
Call for service. branched-chain amino acids. Ironically, branched-chain amino acids have been very popular among strength athletes for their potential muscle-building effects. But Life Extension Foundation published an article about 3 years ago linking BCAAs to better aging, less disease, and longer lives. Isn't that interesting?
You know, it is very interesting. I mean, I think, you know, people have heard of BCAAs. People use them, but I think they just haven't really looked into, you know, what they're doing and why it's so important.
Okay, so what are BCAAs, and why did they decide to call them branched-chain amino acids?
Oop, I kind of lost you there.
Oh, what are BCAAs, and why do we call them branched-chain amino acids?
That's a good one. You know, BCAAs do stand for branched-chain amino acids, and they are three of nine essential amino acids. And an essential amino acid means that our body doesn't produce it, so we've got to get it from an outside source. Now, it's interesting. The reason why somebody, and I didn't have time to find out who the somebody was, named it a branch chain is that these aminos actually have these side chains with branches. So you've got a central carbon atom that's bound to two or three other carbon atoms. So again, they kind of branch out like a tree. Somebody said, hey, let's call them branch chain amino acids. Sounds good to me. But they're comprised of leucine, isoleucine, and valine.
Now, leucine is a really important, in fact, it could be said that the quality of all proteins are gauged by whether or not they're leucine rich. So leucine is probably one of the most important of all the amino acids. And interesting enough, it's one of the BCAAs, isn't it? Did I lose you, Dr. J?
Yeah, you're kind of cutting in and out a little bit on me, but
I'm sorry about that. We'll do a reconnect during the break. But I was just saying, I don't know if you heard that, leucine proteins are rated by how much leucine they have in them. So leucine's a very important amino acid, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you got to, you know, before looking at why BCAAs together, you got to look at the individuals. And when you look at leucine, it is what causes basically the whole protein uptake. You know, without leucine, you are not going to absorb protein. It's probably the king of things, especially when it comes to aminos. You know, if you think about leucine, kind of like the key to your ignition. You know, it isn't the ignition, but it's what starts the car. The same with you know, training or protein. You know, it is what ignites the muscle cell fibers, you know, that kind of kick in and start that whole protein synthesis, which is called MPS, muscle protein synthesis.
What are BCAAs best used for?
They are used for, I mean, recuperation and recovery. I mean, that's the whole reason why you want to use a BCAA, which relates to just about every athlete. you know, when you look at what happens, you know, when you are exercising or training, I used to use the word you are expending BCAAs, but those are the three aminos that essentially are used during intense exercise. So by replenishing those amino acids as quickly as possible, you're going to recover. You're going to recuperate. As you said, there's a lot of research now going on showing because of this that it's good for a whole lot of other things.
From the life extension world, it's really important to avoid muscle wasting as you age, they're saying. That's where they were coming from. We see lots of ratios out there, people who fool around with the ratios, but the original ratio for BCAAs, the way they're found in nature, they have a specific ratio. What is that?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because there's been a lot of research done on BCAAs, and just a few really have talked about the ratio. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, leucine being kind of the king and the most important, what a lot of companies have done is they've elevated their ratio. So we're going to talk about, first of all, the perfect ratio being 2-1-1, which is two parts leucine, one part isoleucine, one part valine. So you might think, well, geez, why not only use leucine if leucine is really what causes all of the protein intake? Well, again, you know, the reason you don't want to, there was a study done at Baylor University where they actually gave one group leucine, a second group a BCAA, and a 2-1-1 ratio. And guess what? Oh, it was a placebo group too, but the 2-1-1 ratio actually had more MPS than the other two groups.
Interesting.
So again, it showed that these other aminos are very important. But one of the sneaks in the dietary supplement industry is you have to remember that leucine is the least expensive of these two.
Really?
Yeah, isoleucine is relatively expensive and valine is more expensive. So by elevating the leucine from 2-1-1 to 6-1-1 to 10-1-1, I even saw an 18-1-1. You know, they're going to tell you that, again, leucine is what you want, to the point where some people are going to probably say, you know, forget all the other two because they're not important. But again, it really comes down to they're trying to get their costs down. That's the reason why they're doing that, Carl. There's no real science behind it. Because if you look at, you know, if you take valine out of the equation, you know, when you train, your body produces tryptophan, which goes to the brain, produces all the serotonins. What does that do? Causes fatigue,
right,
tiredness. Valine competes with the brain to absorb before that tryptophan.
Right.
And it wins. So by having that BCAA, that valine, in your system before you train, during training, you're going to have more valine in your system, which again, it supplies, extra glucose to the muscles, makes you mentally, alert, you know, great for training. So again, you know, not having these in the right ratios really can be counterproductive, but the main reason is it's cheap.
Okay. What's the advantage of taking a free form BCAA versus just getting a protein source that's high in BCAAs, like a dairy protein?
Well, you want to make sure that the proteins that you do use are complete proteins. And most of the proteins out there are. Like you said, nature did a great job making sure that it had ample amounts of leucine and ample amounts of the isoleucine and valine. But the protein takes time through digestion and absorption. So we're looking at, you know, whey protein being, you know, 3-4 hours, too long. You know, by taking in a free form, it's going to be absorbed and uptake a lot quicker. So to take a protein supplement before you train is worthless. So many people at the gym I see are drinking their whey protein as they're coming into the gym. And you know, it's like, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm trying to get my amino acids in for training. No, that's going to do nothing more than bloat you down and, you know, probably get you sick. You got to take a free form, and you got to get it in your system about 30 minutes before you train in order for it to be available.
Because the free form amino acids are absorbed right through the lining of the stomach. They don't have to be digested, right?
Correct. You know, when you think about proteins, you've got your body first has to digest that down. And when we talk about digestion, we mean breaking apart the proteins from the sugars, from the fats, vitamins, and whatever else is in there. Then your body has to take that protein and break it down into amino acids. And then it's going to basically digest those, pre-digest those amino acids before they actually can be absorbed. When you're looking at a free form, essentially, you can call it pre-digested, you know, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, a good BCAA within about 20 minutes is usually in the bloodstream and ready to go to work.
How often or how much, what kind of dosages and how frequently should you be using BCAAs throughout the day?
And, you know, that's another controversial marketing ploy. Because when you look at, you know, what are the therapeutic dosages, I went through probably a dozen studies, which are the most quoted studies out there, and I really couldn't find anything that said how much you need. So I think a lot of times people, first of all, take too much. Again, it's a marketing ploy. You know, if I'm a company, you trust me, and I tell you to take 30 grams of BCAAs, you're going to probably do it. But guess what? You're going to use a bottle up in a week. So I like to always find what is the ample dose that's going to be effective. So taking about, you know, 2.5 to 5 grams prior to exercise is probably the optimal dose. Now, again, it's going to be based on size, gender, activity levels. But again, these are just some guidelines. So if you're taking, you know, 100 milligrams, not quite enough. If you're taking 20 or 30 grams, you're probably taking too much. Because again, you know, if you can't absorb it, it's just going to be, come out the other end as waste. You can take them. I do see some people use them as intra. That's fine. And you can use them as a post. The key is that you take them around workout time.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there's any, you know, exact best time to do it. Personally, I like to take it beforehand. Because they're going to be ready after a workout. You know, sometimes when you take things after a workout, I see people mixing their BCAAs with their proteins. Slows down the absorption. Use your BCAAs as a standalone, or you can mix them with, you know, like Carbolin, you know, your carbohydrate
right.
prior. But don't mix them with a whole lot of other amino acids and proteins and things that are going to compete with the absorption.
Okay, so we hadn't planned on talking about this, but I just got an email yesterday from your group. You were awarded a new patent that's going to actually affect the whole BCAA industry, right?
Yeah, I've been working on this for about, boy, I'm going to say since the 90s. One of the things that I discovered, first of all, you know, because amino acids are so important, I wanted to find out, you know, are amino acids stable? And, you know, because of my research from Crealclin, you know, again, you've got to look at stability issues. You've got to look at absorption issues. And lo and behold, I found that all amino acids degrade in the stomach. And BCAAs are
no different.
Same. Yeah. So, again, you know, you don't want to be losing the potency of things. So what I was able to develop and receive my patents is basically a new delivery system. It's an enzymatic buffered process. So yes, similar to Crealclin, it has been alkalized, but there's a whole enzymatic way of processing these amino acids so that they're going to be, say, user-friendly, more absorbable. And again, if we get in a stable amount, it only makes sense that we're going to be able to uptake more versus having something degrading and losing, you know, 20, 10, 15, 30%, you know.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. And you can use less sometimes to get the same results. And when you use more, you'll get better results if you're getting more of it delivered into your system. How about this? Let's take a break now. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the usage of BCAAs during dieting. There's lots of discussions out there that they're great for avoiding a catabolic effect and muscle wasting if you're going to do some severe caloric restriction. Can we address that when we come back?
Absolutely.
So let's do this. Let's take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini. Stay tuned.
Have you not a
properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep? Oh, no. It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the NGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Science for Humans. My co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. We're talking about BCAAs, kind of a primer. So, Dr. J, a lot of athletes and people in general will use BCAAs when they're on very low calorie or calorie-restricted diets to lose body fat, because the thought is the BCAAs will continue to stimulate mTOR and MPS, and they will lose a lot less muscle, even though they're dieting. Now, there was a study recently published that showed that that may not be true. But what is your observations? You know, back in the day on Muscle Beach, did guys use BCAAs?
You know, no, not really. We were more into complexes because they really weren't available. But I think when you look at the studies, you know, talking about some catabolic states and, you know, the nitrogen sparing benefits of BCAAs, you really got to take a step back and look at, you know, what happens on the inside. Essentially, your muscles burn BCAA for energy. So if you are on a low calorie diet, especially if you are on a low carb diet, your body likes to burn aminos before it will burn body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is all of a sudden these aminos are starting to get dumped into the bloodstream as you are breaking down muscle, and your body will burn that for fuel. So that's why you got to be very careful to make sure that you are supplementing with BCAAs. Now, one of the tricks is that when your body is in starvation mode, you start to break down muscle. These BCAAs are flooding into the bloodstream. Your system will kick into its defense mode and say, wait a minute, I don't want to burn muscle right now. So it will turn that process off, and it will switch to burning all of the fat that you have on your body. So one of the tricks is during dieting is by elevating your BCAA levels toward the end of the diet. This isn't something you know, works for weeks and months on end.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you get down to the end, you increase those BCAAs. Now, this is the only time that I would recommend that you're going to go to 20, 30, 40 grams per day. You're going to space that out. And by elevating those BCAAs, your body's going to go, wait a minute, you know, I got to keep this muscle. I got to find some fat to burn. And that's one of the secrets for really getting lean and ripped, you know, the last 3 weeks.
So it almost sounds like that BCAAs would be good to use when you hit a plateau to kind of signal the body and fool the body into thinking that it's dipping into valuable muscle now and it needs to go back and burn fat. Another nice thing about BCAAs over other amino acid blends is there are several glucogenic amino acids out there that can easily be converted to sugars. And then there are several amino acids out there that can be converted to ketones. And isoleucine, which is the only amino acid in BCAAs that is either glucogenic or ketogenic. So that means that it can produce a little bit of glucose if your body needs it, but it can also be converted to ketones. So your body's not going to shift into desiring glucose if you're using BCAAs as your sort of between meal amino acid blend at the end of your training. I mean, at the end of your diet as you're espousing to kind of get over that last hurdle.
Absolutely. Now, one thing I want to stress, we talked about, you know, kind of the perfect ratio, because this is where things have done a big turn the last 2 years. And I don't know if you've looked, Carl, but go look online, look up BCAAs and see what a lot of companies are trying to sell us as BCAAs. They're full amino spectrums. They've got everything from protein. They've added glutamine. They've added glycine. Now, are those things great? Yeah, they all have a purpose, but they're less expensive than a BCAA. You want to take those BCAAs by themselves. You don't want anything competing during that absorption. By using those type of products, yeah, they work, but you aren't going to get the recuperation recovery that you are looking for from those BCAAs.
Yeah, and as you point out, these kitchen sink blends typically use less expensive components to add a volume, so you think you're getting a lot more of something that you're not. Are there any side effects to BCAAs? Have you ever heard of anybody not boding well with taking BCAAs?
You know, they're completely safe as far as, you know, are they going to cause some ailment? I haven't found anything, and they've been out long enough. But some of the side effects, you know, again, if you've never used a BCAA and you go take, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 grams at one time, you can experience some headache. And I did this yesterday just to see if it worked, and I'm still overcoming it. So it does work.
Okay.
You get a little headache. You can get a little dizzy, a little nausea. But those are, you know, relatively short-term symptoms. Mm-hmm. And it just means that, again, it's a little too much for you. You got to kind of build your tolerance up. So you should never start with any product, including a BCAA, at full therapeutic dose first time out. You know, kind of get yourself used to taking that. Let your body get used to that extra BCAA. And then, you know, over a course of a week to 2 weeks, you can build up to, you know, what your desired dose is going to be.
You know, I have to give somebody a shout out. Seth Williamson, who is at All American Pharmaceutical and forces everybody to listen to Superhuman Radio all day long, is listening live today. So I have to give him a shout out because he is the keeper of the Superhuman Radio flame over in Montana. So thank
he
you for that.
He does. He's running it through all the speakers. So, not only do they get to listen to the show live, but it's playing probably when we leave. I don't think he turns it off. I think the ghost stuff get to hear it. So
yeah, he's great. He's great. Always makes us feel welcome when we show up. He has my name on the board, and it makes me feel special when I get there to Montana.
Yeah, thanks, Seth.
So let's round it up on BCAAs. Thumbs up on BCAAs. They're good. They're good for dieting, but only in the latter phases of dieting and only for short bursts of time. And take them around your workout before and after.
Yep. Add them to your regimen if you aren't using them. Look for 2-1-1 ratio and make sure they don't contain anything but leucine, isoleucine, valine. I'm okay with some flavors and sweeteners and things, but no proteins. No other amino acids, no vitamins, because those things don't need anything in order to uptake if they're high quality.
And flavor sometimes is important because I am one of those people, like many people probably in our audience, that I'll eat something that tastes horrible if I think it's going to make me burn fat or make me add muscle. But one of the things that tastes the worst are BCAAs by far.
You know, they are. And being that I'm working for EFX Sports, their new BCAA, which my patent ingredient is called Aminozorb, they are nasty as a neutral. So I've got them where they taste really good. Again, you know, you want to be able to not choke them down. You want to be able to at least somewhat enjoy them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So are they available now? Is this, I know you just got the patent, but you've been producing this product already, right?
No, I haven't really been in full production on it. I really wanted to wait till the patent, issued. So we're looking at, I had some of the technology in their current BCAA that's out, which they call HBCAA, but the full blown, stuff will probably be mid-March. So again, keep an eye for it. And like always, if you have a question or you need a sample of anything, you can go to superhumanradio.com, look for Ask the Scientist, or go to Dr. Jeff Galini and like my page on Facebook. You can always message me there.
Yeah, and you know what? Pretty soon, I think I have a funny feeling we're going to be getting some free samples of the new patented buffered BCAA supplement.
You can count on that.
All right.
Yeah, you can feel the difference. So you know me, man. You don't want to buy anything if you don't get to try it first.
So there you have it. BCAA 101, thanks to Dr. Jeff Galini. Dr. Jeff, thanks for being on today, brother.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Talk to you later. All right, we're going to have one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we've got an amazing list of topics to cover. The next one that we're going to cover is going to be a broken circadian clock and how it can raise blood pressure and promote disease, and what do you do about it? Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Doctors tell their patients to cut back on salt to get blood pressure to come down. What happens when that doesn't work? Is there something else happening that we should be aware of? My next guest is Dr. Daniel Rudick. He is a vascular biologist in the Department of Pharmacology and Toxicology at the Medical Center of Georgia in Augusta. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rudick.
Thank you very much. Great pleasure to be here.
So, you just published a study titled, "With a Broken Circadian Clock, Even a Low-Salt Diet Can Raise Resting Blood Pressure and Promote Disease." What led you to this study? What questions were there posed maybe from previous studies that made you want to do this?
Good question. So prior to this study, it was known that the circadian clock regulates blood pressure. Before that, even before that in humans, it was well known that blood pressure exhibits a circadian rhythm. If you measure your blood pressure in the daytime versus in the nighttime, it's drastically different. Blood pressure rises in the day. Maybe your blood pressure is 140 over 90, 140 over 80 during the day, and maybe it drops at night, and when you're waking up, it's around 120 over 80. Mm-hmm.
Hence the term diurnal. Blood pressure is diurnal because it is expected to have different readings at different times of the day, right?
Exactly. Okay. Diurnal, actually, even more precisely meaning rising in the daytime, whereas mice are nocturnal. They have a nocturnal blood pressure. Their blood pressure rises during the night. Mm-hmm. The question was, we wanted to know, given that the circadian clock and there's a molecular network that regulates circadian rhythms called broadly the circadian clock, and it includes genes called BMAL, clock, purr, and cry. All these genes are found in the human body. And they're found everywhere, in blood vessels, in the kidney, in the heart, in the brain. The brain, they regulate sleep-wake rhythms in blood vessels and kidneys and heart. Maybe they regulate blood pressure. Anyway, we wanted to know what would happen if we induced hypertension in a mouse with a broken circadian clock. To do that, we gave a drug called angiotensin, or actually a peptide, in the mice. We injected them with this peptide.
Let's just mention something for the audience. So angiotensin is produced by the kidneys in response to vascular demands and hemodynamics, where the body wants to bring blood pressure, or I should say blood flow, into the core of the body and restrict it from the periphery. And angiotensin actually constricts peripheral blood vessels on demand when needed. But we have a population that seems to produce a lot of angiotensin all the time, and hence ACE inhibitors seem to be a very popular blood pressure medication, correct?
Absolutely right. Okay. You nailed it on the button. So this angiotensin is clearly important in human hypertension. You're right. If we give ACE inhibitors, many humans are on ACE inhibitors or angiotensin receptor blockers, and that lowers blood pressure. The question was, clearly it causes hypertension, angiotensin, but it plays a lot of normal responses in the body, right? I mean, we have this molecule in there because it's sometimes important to raise blood pressure. Aside from constricting blood vessels, it also causes sodium retention. And obviously, it's thought that lowering salt in our body usually lowers blood volume and thereby lowers blood pressure. But low sodium, also what it does is it induces the renin-angiotensin pathway, in that it induces angiotensin because it's a normal response. Sometimes when you have low salt, the body reacts by saying, hey, let's keep more salt in the body.
Right.
And that's what angiotensin does. In any case, we first started giving mice angiotensin II, injected them with it. The normal mice gave a robust increase in blood pressure, but had a beautiful, or very nice, I should say, circadian rhythm and blood pressure. When we did this in the mice with the circadian deficient clock, they were mutants of the circadian clock, per knockouts, standing for period gene, these mice lost the dip, or actually had a reduced dipping phenotype. So their blood pressure was actually higher in the daytime, because they rest in the daytime, so their resting blood pressure was higher. Interestingly, we then wanted to see, okay, so this is when we injected mice with angiotensin. What if we induced the endogenous angiotensin system with a low salt diet? In fact, there's a human tribe of native Indians that has very low salt diets. They basically are called the no salt culture. They're called the Yanomamo Indians. This tribe of Indians actually has higher renin and angiotensin, but their blood pressure is normal.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, low salt has long been known to induce the angiotensin system, but it also has the great effect to lower blood pressure by reducing blood volume. So it's complicated. Low salt isn't as quite straightforward as you'd think.
Right.
When we did our experiment in our mice, we gave low salt diet to the normal mice, what we call wild type mice, and it lowered blood pressure as expected, you know. But when we gave it to the mice with circadian dysfunction, a low salt diet, it immediately caused a non-dipping blood pressure such that they basically recapitulated what happened with angiotensin II infusion. And molecularly, we found that the low salt also induced increased levels of renin and angiotensin in the circadian deficient mice. It's a big surprise to us. We actually thought low salt would be protective. In follow-up, we did some literature searches. We're like, how could this possibly happen, that low salt could cause a non-dipping blood pressure? It turns out there's been a smattering of data in humans in the past 2 to 3 years,
yes,
with caveats, that suggests that low salt may have its dangers. So the general
yes.
dogma is always like moderation in everything except low salt. We need to go as low as possible.
I know a guy. I know a guy from the gym. I've known him for many years. Who his physician was increasing his blood pressure meds every single year. And had a talk with them and said, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but we're going to have to. So just jokingly, I said, you know, I read a couple studies recently about how not having enough sodium in the diet can actually raise your blood pressure. Why don't you start salting your foods? This is a true story. His name is Bill. He started salting his foods. He went back to his doctor 6 months later. They had to reduce his blood pressure meds because his blood pressure was getting too low. Now it's almost a year later. He's almost off his blood pressure meds completely by adding salt back into his diet, which is completely counterintuitive when you think about
it.
But here's what I want to do. We have to take a break in just a moment. But when we come back, I want to try to fold in sleep into this discussion. Because when we talk about circadian rhythms, when we talk about broken circadian clocks, in the human population, we're talking about people who are either having impaired or fragmented or shift workers and so on. What does this mean to them when they have high blood pressure and they are being told by their physician to cut their salt back, but yet they are literally breaking their own circadian clocks? How about we talk about that when we come back?
That sounds great.
Okay, so let's take one quick commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return.
In real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information. Read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle Bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegish.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
web.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Yo, give me something to dance to.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Rudick. We're talking about the role of the circadian clock, blood pressure management in the face of low salt diet consumption. So, obviously, these models that you use in science are designed to emulate some sort of human characteristic. And in the human population, we love to stay up late, watch Jimmy Kimmel, get 2 to 3 hours of sleep. Many of us are sleep deprived for one reason or another. Sleep problems are abounded today in the United States. What does this mean to those people who go to the doctor? The doctor says, look, you've got terribly high blood pressure. I got to put you on this med. You got to cut salt out of your diet. But their circadian clock is broken by virtue of the fact that they don't sleep right. What does this mean to them?
Great question. I'd say that's the population we're thinking about when we talk about these circadian clock mutant mice. But let's put it on the table. This is mice. The studies we've done are in mice, and we perceive the application to extend to humans. But at this point, I couldn't honestly advocate that we should avoid lowering salt in sleep-deprived patients. You know, you observed your anecdotal observation with your colleague who is at the gym and said increasing his salt, all of a sudden his blood pressure lowered more dramatically with the antihypertensives. I also similarly had a colleague in science who said that a similar experience. They lowered their salt and their blood pressure actually went up. Listen, at this point we've not done the human studies. There are some smatterings of human studies. It's just that excretion of very low salt can be dangerous, but clearly more research needs to be done. But I'd say go ahead.
There's a good body of evidence out there that's looking at sleep and insulin resistance. And they stumble on answers to these questions quite often, but that's not the endpoints they're looking for, so they don't really talk about it. But when you start to dig into some of the research that links sleep deprivation, fragmented sleep, and shift working to insulin resistance, one of the things you find out is that both angiotensin and aldosterone are both affected when people become insulin resistant. And people become insulin resistant because they have poor sleep. In fact, the next discussion we're going to have is about the role of sleep and disease in women. And so, you know, I know when I had some sleep problems that I really corrected, 80% corrected from obstructive sleep apnea that I've actually started to correct now. I'm sleeping normal again. But I can tell you the nights that I slept worse, I was holding water. My ankles would be swollen at the end of the day. That's aldosterone right there. And I also know that those days I craved carbs. That's insulin. That's insulin. That's insulin resistance. That's the whole a metabolic pathway that makes people eat more carbs, more sugar when they don't sleep right. And I didn't check my blood pressure those days, but I'm willing to bet that my resting blood pressure those days was higher than on a day where I got a great night's sleep. So I'm with you on this. I think that you guys are talking about a very, very important topic. And I think that the reason why adding a little salt back in works is because that takes the aldosterone and angiotensin portion of this equation, and it kind of fools it. It's like, oh, well, wait a minute. We've got sodium. We're retaining fluid. We can go back and do what we do best, which is open up blood vessels and let some fluid out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think you raised up excellent points. With regard to the insulin resistance, it's interesting you bring that up. A colleague at Harvard has also shown that low salt may perhaps induce some insulin resistance as well. There is a smattering of basic science data points at the low salt. And maybe the circadian clock is an umbrella that controls metabolic function, insulin regulation, vascular function, blood pressure, and the intermingling of all these, of course, occurs in metabolic syndrome, and the clock clearly is in an ancestral regulatory system that protects and allows anticipation. And clearly, insulin, cardiovascular function, all these things are anticipatory functions as our body anticipates food and changes in blood pressure. You brought up a great point.
Before you even invoke the word ancestral, I am thinking evolutionary. I am thinking, why does this make sense from an evolutionary perspective? Thanks to Dr. Daniel Lieberman, who's been a guest on the show, and I've read his book so many times that the book is completely marked up with my thumbprints. I always look at everything from an evolutionary standpoint. So sleep was not an option in evolution. And if you weren't sleeping, it was probably because you were being hunted by an animal, or you had a hostile environment, and these stressors told the body to prepare for the inevitable hard times. So it makes perfect sense why angiotensin would increase, because you are in this hyper-stress state. Things are not going good. We need to keep blood flow in the core, not at the periphery, because we may have to run any second now. I know I'm oversimplifying this because I'm not a scientist, but the other part of this is insulin says we need to store fat. There's a threat in our environment. Fat is something that will get us through hard times. So when you're not sleeping, the body perceives that as your environment is hostile towards you. So we need to make some metabolic changes that will put us in a position to survive a tough time. This is why these things change the way they do, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely. I think you're exactly right. From a defense mechanism, we can change our energy control, but also even, you know, animals, predatory animals. Some animals are nocturnal. They do this as an adaptive response to avoid their diurnal predators. Plants, all these things have circadian rhythms and have the circadian clock, from plants to worms to insects to animals. And obviously for plants, it's important to capture light to generate, oxygen while they use CO2. You know, so the circadian clock is something unique to this planetary environment, this 24-hour day, this 12-hour light-dark cycle we have. And our bodies and all our terrestrial organisms have adapted this unique, intracellular clock.
What would you hope clinicians take away from this research? We have lots of doctors that listen to the show. What are you saying to them through this research?
So I think the most important thing, the blood pressure guidelines have given us a little bit of confusion. We have yet to take into consideration what appropriate nighttime blood pressure should be. There's a subset of patients, and we don't know, but it can be very prominent, up to, I think it was up to 30 or 40% that have non-dipping blood pressure. Their blood pressure doesn't drop. If your blood pressure doesn't drop at night, you are very likely to develop more cardiovascular disease. We need to think about ambulatory blood pressures, getting our patients to have their blood pressures measured throughout the day. At this point, if a clinician orders your blood pressure to be measured throughout the entire day, they have to suggest you have a white coat hypertension. So pretty much they think that you come in like, ooh, you're scared of the doctor, so your blood pressure goes up. But then that's sort of a catch-22. So isn't everybody potentially have mass hypertension? Bottom line, people with sleep disorders, we should be looking at their blood pressure around the clock. With scientists, we should now begin trying to study what appropriate nighttime blood pressures should be. You know, our absolute target blood pressure of 120 over 70 as a healthy blood pressure is based on a daytime visit, probably optimal. but we really need to.
Well, but okay. So when we talk about blood pressure, two things come to mind. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time left. But first of all, I can't believe we still check blood pressure the way we check blood pressure. Number one, because imagine you have a high performance car, and you have an oil pressure gauge in there. That oil pressure gauge is inside the system, checking the pressure of the oil in an absolute fashion. Now imagine that somebody said, hey, we don't have to do that anymore. Let's put this device that squeezes the oil line, and that'll tell us what the pressure is. You have to take into account how old that oil line is, how flexible it is, and rigid it is, and so on. The idea that we
I love your analogy.
Well,
I love your analogy. Can I also add that, you know, how about, should we measure that blood pressure while the engine is hot or cold?
Yes.
Right? Like, we measure blood pressure in humans when we're sitting stable. How often during the day are we actually just sitting around? No, we're active. We're under stress. Isn't that really when blood pressure is more relevant?
And that leads me to the second thing I don't understand about blood pressure, and that is there are pathologically bad blood pressures and there are physiologically good blood pressures, and they may be the same numbers. And I'll give you an example. I am a hard training, heavy weightlifting athlete, and my blood pressure when I'm squatting could probably go up to 1,000/500. And over the decades of training like that, the plumbing has upregulated. My blood vessels and my veins, they are more resilient, they are stronger, they're probably thicker than the average person. So when someone checks my blood pressure and goes, wow, it's 137/87, that's a little high. You wouldn't say that about a Formula One car because the pressure in that oil, in that oil gauge is higher than your Honda Civic at home. Of course not. One is high performance and one isn't. We don't take into consideration the lifestyle of the patient when we look at blood pressure. Now, there are people who sit around all day long, do nothing. They're obese and they have 180/90 blood pressure. That's a pathological blood pressure right there. That needs to be looked into. But you got a guy who's 10% body fat, even though he's on the high end of the BMI and his blood pressure is a little high, don't try to lower that artificially. He's got an upregulated pump. He's got an upregulated plumbing system. He is probably where he needs to be.
Absolutely. I think you bring up a great point. A lot of medicine is wonderful. We've gotten great things out of medicine, but lately the thinking is we need to individualize medicine. Everybody is uniquely different. We have a weightlifter. We have somebody who's sedentary. You know, absolute guidelines to everybody is a little bit antiquated, and we need to think about individualizing to different subsets of people.
Yeah, this is a great discussion. I would love to see somebody take some other technologies like ultrasound and some software and come up with a better way to check for true blood pressure instead of this let's squeeze the hose and determine what the pressure is of the fluid passing inside of it. I can't believe we still do that. I can't believe it.
In some of our mouse studies, just to comment, oftentimes people do either a tail cuff in mice or telemetry. One, the tail cuff is very much like the pressure cuff we do, the sphygmomanometer.
Right.
And the telemetry is an implantable blood pressure. Obviously, you can't do that in humans. It's very invasive, but it is the gold standard because it's much more accurate. As we know, with the cuff, there are definitely limitations.
Mechanical limitations. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to check fluid inside of it. I mean, a person who has a very thick arm like me, and they use the wrong cuff size, bad reading. A person who's got a lot of adipose tissue that has to be squashed down first if they're hydrated, if they're not. All these things change the reading. I still can't believe we check blood pressure this way. Listen, I got to thank you. I think this is great research. And if anything, it shows that nothing is an absolute edict any longer. High sodium, low sodium, you got to look at the patient individually. Great work. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure speaking with you. Excellent comments.
Take care.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about sleep in women and diseases. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at Wise Choice Medicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Right now. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So we're going to stay with this theme of sleep for a little while longer because, you know, we talk about sleep on this show a lot, and that's because sleep is contributing to a lot of diseases today. So the next discussion is about irregular sleep schedules and adverse metabolic health in women. My guest is Brianna Taylor. How you doing, Brianna?
Good. How are you doing, Carl?
Good, good. What university are you with? I'm sorry, I should have had that in front of me, but I don't.
No, that's fine. University of Pittsburgh.
Okay, and you just had a paper published in the American Academy of Sleep Medicine Journal.
Yes.
Study links irregular sleep schedules to adverse metabolic health in women. What made you do this study? What questions were you trying to answer?
So two primary lines of research really led to this question. one being the sleep and health literature and the other being the circadian literature on shift workers and adverse health among shift workers. So we know that sleep is a restorative process, and we know that this has been shown to be associated with decreased, or at least good sleep has been shown to be associated with decreased risk for things like diabetes and obesity. We also know that shift workers are at increased risk for both of these things, as well as cardiovascular disease and certain types of cancer.
Right.
And so our question really revolved around the idea of, so if people are getting the same amount of sleep, does it matter when they are sleeping and how regular their sleep schedules are?
And so how was the study designed? Who was the cohort, and what did you look for?
Sure. So the study was the, we call it the SWAN study. It is the study of women's health across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a cohort of about 370 midlife women. It's a multi-ethnic cohort. And this group of women participated in a sleep research study. And so they completed a sleep diary for about 2 weeks. And so they recorded all of the times that they were sleeping, waking, and doing all other sorts of things. And then we had them come in for annual visits, and we did blood draws and looked essentially at their cardiometabolic health.
And what did you find?
So we found, so this was a longitudinal study. We looked both cross-sectionally and we looked prospectively. So we looked at these women at the time of their sleep assessment and looked at sleep timing in relation to their metabolic health. And then we looked at whether or not sleep timing predicted metabolic health about 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we found was that women who had more variability in their sleep timing, so they had more irregular sleep timing, they had more insulin resistance, both cross-sectionally, and then we also found that women who tended to stay up very late past their usual bedtimes, this predicted future growth in insulin resistance about 5 years later.
Okay, so let's talk about the variability part. So you said women who stayed up late beyond their usual bedtime. So what I would assume from that statement is that these are women that, let's say, 60% of the time they went to sleep at a certain time, and 40% mm-hmm. of the time they stayed up later on a week-by-week basis. Is this a fair assessment?
Yeah, so, I mean, nobody really maintains a perfectly regular sleep schedule. But we all vary with how irregular our schedules tend to be. So two women might have the same average bedtime of, say, 11 o'clock, and one woman may go to bed at 11:15 or 10:45, and that's kind of the range within which she varies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas another woman, it might not be unusual for her to go to bed at midnight or 1 a.m. or 10 p.m.
On an occasion, in other words, but she's still adhering to this relatively earlier sleep schedule most of the time, and then she has these weekends, stays up late maybe, or
right.
a favorite TV show, or, you know, the political debates, and stays up late a couple times a week.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. What
okay.
we found was that women who kind of showed these big deviations in the late direction, so staying up late, tended to be have increased insulin resistance 5 years down the road.
Did it matter if they, so let's say normally woman A goes to sleep at 9:45 and mm-hmm. she sleeps a good solid 8 hours. Now she stays up for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. She doesn't go to bed until maybe 11 those two nights. She still sleeps for 8 hours. Does that mm-hmm. play a role that she got the same amount of sleep but just went to bed later?
So it may absolutely play a role. So we definitely know that sleep duration, you know, is an important factor here. But we also know that these shifts on the weekends seem to be important. And for our study, they definitely were. So we found that when we took out sleep timing on the weekend nights, our effects went away. So really what we were seeing is that variability in sleep schedules due to shifts in sleep timing on the weekends were responsible for the association we were seeing.
See, and this makes sense to me, and I've actually had this discussion mm-hmm. with Elisa just recently. I feel mm-hmm. so great all week long.
You're cutting out a little bit.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I have a problem with my mic today. I feel great all week long. But Monday, I never feel great Monday morning because I stay up later on the weekends. And I, even though I sleep in later, I just don't feel as good.
Yes. So this is a very common phenomenon. So people do tend to delay their sleep timing on the weekends, and then we try to resume an earlier sleeping schedule during the week. And this sleeping pattern is referred to as social jet lag, really because the effects of this transition are very similar to traveling across multiple time zones every week.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And this has been linked with obesity, higher BMIs, and in our study, we really think that this might be kind of a similar effect going on.
So when a woman deviates from her earlier sleep time more frequently in the week, so one woman maybe she just stays up late one night, another woman stays up late four nights or three nights, is it a dose-dependent response? So the women who are more disruptive to their normal sleep time, do they see an accelerated path to metabolic disorders?
So we didn't really examine an accelerated path, but we did see that it was more the magnitude with which they would deviate from their typical time. So we saw that women who varied more absolutely had increased insulin resistance at time one. But really, women who showed greater magnitude in their deviations, they were the ones that we saw having a more, you might say, more accelerated progression of metabolic health problems over time.
So when you say greater magnitude, I mean, the two women, they're doing the same disruptive thing, except one is staying up until 2 in the morning and one is staying up until 11 at night. The one that stays up till 2 in the morning, this is a more dramatic deviation in her normal schedule. She's going to see a stronger effect towards metabolic disorder.
That's exactly what we saw. So you might have the same amount of time with which these women are staying up late. So essentially, like, one woman could stay up to 11 a couple nights a week, but the woman who stays up till 2 or 3 in the morning one night a week, we saw that she would be at increased risk.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking about my own personal life. You know, we have friends. Elisa and I have friends. They invite us to parties, and I look at Elisa and go, you really want to go? We're going to be up until, you know, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not drinking anymore right now because I've got some new goals in my life, so I've given up all alcohol. You know, it's like I'm not going to drink. And then we end up talking ourselves out of even going to these parties, and we stay home, and we watch a movie, and we eat, and we go to sleep at 9 o'clock because I love going to sleep at 9 o'clock. I feel good when I go to sleep at 9 o'clock.
It sounds so familiar.
Well, but my point is, in order for you to stay healthy, and sleep is an important part of health, you need to choose friends who appreciate the importance of getting to sleep at the same time every night. Otherwise, you don't have any socialization at all. It's amazing.
It's very true. And this kind of tendency to go to bed earlier and have a more stable schedule actually tends to increase with age. And so I always look at my husband and I tell him we're getting old when we make those same decisions to not go out on Friday and Saturday night and choose Netflix
and chill
early bedtime instead. Yep.
He's your husband. You can Netflix and chill with him. So that's cool.
Yes.
So, you know, which makes me wonder, you know, is it that we get older and we want to go to sleep early? Or as we get older, health becomes more important and we want to go to sleep early. And so should we attribute going to sleep early with age, or should we attribute going to sleep early with wisdom?
That's a really interesting question. And so it's something that we think about a lot. So is this tendency to start regulating our behavior, is it some sort of compensatory mechanism that we're really just engaging in because everything in our physiology is kind of slowing down in terms of like our metabolic health and how efficiently it's working. And so maybe this tendency is kind of a self-protective mechanism, right?
So
if it's important for health to be regular, to kind of go to bed early, to get sufficient sleep, maybe these tendencies are a little bit less social and a little bit more of this biological innate self-protective mechanism.
You know, about 8 years ago, when I was trying to promote my radio show here in Louisville locally, I figured, well, I'm going to promote it locally and try to develop some fans here in my hometown. I was still on the air with Clear Channel at the time. I had gone to the Chamber of Commerce. They have regular networking breakfasts in the morning where people get around at, you know, a Johnson's or a Denny's and eat eggs and bacon. Not that there's anything wrong with eggs and bacon and toast, and sit around and talk business, and then they go on their way. And I said, why don't we start a sweat working group where we meet at the gym early in the morning and we train together? That's going to bond people greater than sitting next to a guy saying, hey, can you pass me the marmalade for my toast? If a guy is spotting you while you're doing bench presses or something like that, you know, you're going to build more. They were not interested. And I said to him, I said, you know, most people, they go through life and they go, okay, this is my time now. It's 10 o'clock. The kids are asleep. The dishes are done. I'm going to sit down. I'll be damned if I'm going to bed. I'm going to sit here for 3 hours and watch television. I'm exactly the opposite. I want to go to sleep early because I like getting up at 5 a.m. when the world is still sleeping and quiet, and I get stuff done. I like to get up in the morning, and that's my time. So I needed to find more people like that, but they didn't want to hear it. They said, nah, nobody's going to want to go to the gym first thing in the morning. I was like, what? All right.
Well, that's a whole other important issue here is this idea of, we call it chronotype in sleep literature. And there are people that are just naturally more, you know, early birds, and there are those that are more night owls.
Do you really think that you're genetically programmed for that?
I don't know about the genetic heritability of it. There have been some studies that suggest that it is fairly heritable. However, there are others that show, like twin studies, that show that it's more social factors that might account for differences.
I agree with
that.
It's
definitely mixed.
We have to take a break. I want to talk about that when we come back, okay? I want to talk about this notion that there are some people who are just genetically morning people when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SAHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of six ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential. The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegish.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Breonna Taylor. We're talking about how irregular sleep schedules can produce adverse metabolic health in women. And by saying irregular, we just mean, hey, you go to sleep early four nights a week, and then the weekend you stay up late. That's having an impact on you. And, you know, a lot of people are going to go, oh, but what am I supposed to do, not have a social life? No, you can have a social life. Just understand what the cost of your social life is. That's all. Make sure that it's worth it to you. So, from an evolutionary standpoint, there's no such thing as I'm not a morning person. I think that you're conditioned, and I'll tell you this story. So when I was in high school, I went to work at the racetrack at Aqueduct, and I used to ride my bicycle there in the morning, and I had to be in my stalls at 4 to 4:30 a.m. every morning, which means I had to get up, get on my bike, and ride approximately 5 miles, well, not very far, to the track and work every single morning. And by the second year of working at the racetrack, I no longer had to set an alarm to wake up. I woke up 3:30, 3:45 every single morning, no matter what time I went to sleep. And don't forget, I was young, so I wasn't going, oh, I better go to sleep at 7 o'clock. I was going to sleep at 10, 11 o'clock, and I was getting up at 4, 3:30, 3:45, and then going to work. But I did that for 5 years, and now I don't need an alarm clock. This is the weirdest thing. I tell people this, and I think they think I'm crazy, but if I have to get up tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m., I just, when I get ready to go to sleep, I think to myself, okay, I need to be up at 5:30, and I'll set an alarm, and I'll wake up 10 minutes before the alarm goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't buy this, I'm genetically predisposed to being a nighttime person, or I think that it's a learned behavior, and one becomes more comfortable for you than the other. That's all.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, and this is definitely an area where people seem to differ. And so I'm not a genetics person, so I can't speak to that so much. But this idea of morning person versus evening person have been, it's something that we can assess with questionnaires. You know, we can just ask people what they prefer to do. We can also look at their behavior and see what they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
But one way that we kind of try to disentangle and see whether it's just this kind of social learned behavior that, and something that some people just simply prefer from maybe this innate biological tendency.
Mm-hmm.
Is we can look at certain circadian phase markers. So we look at things like when melatonin starts secreting at night. And this varies between people. And also when the melatonin secretion stops. This is something that varies between people. And what we see is that those people, the same people that are saying that they're not a morning person, that they're definitely an evening person, they tend to have delayed phase markers as well. So they have later melatonin onset, later melatonin offset. They also have later shifts in their core body temperature, which is something that tends to rhythmically show distinct patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so we disentangle this as much as possible from habitual daily behavior by running these experiments in tightly controlled conditions where they don't have the option to do really anything, and we're just looking at their physiology.
Interesting.
And so we do see differences that do correspond with what they say.
Interesting.
Is their actual circadian preference.
Yeah. Okay, so then I guess I'm a morning person. So what do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from this particular research?
So I think, I wouldn't make any recommendations just yet. We did have a prospective finding which does point towards some sort of causal association between sleep timing and insulin resistance. But definitely more work needs to be done in this area. But I think what needs to be understood is there definitely is this trade-off between a regular routine and the total amount of sleep that you're getting, right? So in addition to, staying up late on the weekends, we're also sleeping in on the weekends to kind of make up for as much sleep that we maybe didn't get during the week.
Right.
And so this kind of impacts our regularity as well. And so in a perfect world, we might all get 8 hours of sleep and at the same time every night, but that's just not realistic, and it's not what we do. And so I think what's important to understand is, sleep duration is obviously important, but understanding that when it happens may also be important as well. And so being mindful of your schedule, being mindful of how consistent your routine is, might be something to look at if you feel like you're not getting sufficient sleep or if you feel like sleep might be impacting your metabolic health.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Me personally, I think I remember reading years and years ago how important it is to get to sleep at the same time on the weekends as it is during the week in order to improve sleep quality overall. And mm-hmm. I think that's true. I think that, we keep forgetting that from an evolutionary standpoint, we are mismatched for a lot of things that we have fallen in love with, mainly light and technology, artificial light mm-hmm. and technology. And, I know that when Elisa and I go to one of these cabins that we like to rent in Indiana and we're off the grid, and there's just incandescent light. There's no internet, no Wi-Fi to speak of. Cell phones barely work. And you're forced to follow the day-night schedule. And we do that for 3 or 4 days. We come home feeling refreshed. We come home feeling fantastic. We did a show back in 2007 called Lights Out. About the book Lights Out that was actually produced by Wiley, T.S. I'm trying to think of her name, but she's also come up with a hormone protocol that follows a rhythmicity as well. And we talked about, if you have diabetes, one of the things that you can do to help yourself is to switch the lights off in your home and let the day-night cycle regulate when you wake and when you sleep. And after doing that, I got emails from people when I did that show saying they did it for like 3 weeks and the doctor took them off of their diabetes medications. They went to sleep. They got tired when it started at dusk. At dusk, they started getting tired. They woke up in the morning at dawn, and one of the things she says is put your face in the sunlight or the daylight, let your eyes drench with the light and let it set your clock for the day. A lot of people actually, just by doing that, following the normal day-night schedule and letting their body adjust to that, it corrected their insulin resistance.
Absolutely. That's very, very, very interesting. Absolutely. So our bodies have developed to be in sync with a 24-hour light-dark cycle. And just about every aspect of our physiology is either regulated by or in communication with the circadian system. So the way our bodies use energy from food follows a very rhythmic process. We store excess energy during the day, and then we use that excess energy at night when we're sleeping to fuel basal metabolic functioning. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why sleep is so important, because we're actually using that excess energy that was stored in preparation for sleep. And so when we're staying up later, when we're using, you know, we have the choice to stay up beyond when the sun sets, and so we have this artificial light, we have autonomy really over our schedules. And so when we're staying up late, we're prolonging this energy storage phase of the metabolic process. And the storage capacity that we have for energy is limited. And when it reaches its capacity, the excess energy is either stored as fat or it's released back into the bloodstream, resulting in potentially hyperglycemic states.
Yeah. Great discussion. We've come to the end of the interview. It's a great discussion, great study, and puts more emphasis on the importance of sleep, no doubt about it. Brianna, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Carl.
Take care. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how certain yoga positions may be affecting glaucoma. It's a very, very important discussion. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Glaucoma is a problem that strikes a lot of people, and lots of people like yoga. What do these two topics have in common? My next guest is Dr. Robert Rich. He is with the Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, Mount Sinai Hospital School of Medicine. How you doing, Dr. Rich?
Okay, fine. Look, before we get into the yoga, which is really the tip of the iceberg in all of this, and I was listening to you guys, I heard you mention sleep. If you wish, when we finish the yoga, we can get into the rest of the iceberg. Sleep, there's a major connection between glaucoma and sleep apnea. I just gave a lecture at the World Congress in Mexico the other day on that. And I heard curcumin mentioned, and I've been talking around the world and using curcumin for about the last 8 years, and I think that's important in glaucoma also.
Okay, so let's talk about this.
Go ahead.
So glaucoma is thought to be an irregular irrigation, or let's say the fluids from the eye are supposed to pass out of the eye. There's obviously vitreous and aqueous humor, but there's also other fluids in the eye that are supposed to pass out of the eye. They don't pass out of the eye properly, which causes interocular pressure, correct?
Okay. That's kind of, I like the overthrowing the mythology that's been around for 50 years. And that's one of them. There are diseases that affect the front of the eye in which the drain, which is situated, it's called the open angle glaucoma,
right.
The drain gets clogged, or the drain is malfunctional,
right,
and pressure goes up. And elevated, for 100 years, people thought elevated pressure was glaucoma and that they were intimately associated. The glaucoma is really a number of different diseases, of which there are 5 major causes, and we're going to find a lot more on the basis of genetics.
Interesting.
But the elevated, when the drain is clogged, the pressure goes up, and that causes damage to the optic nerve.
Okay.
And then the damage to the optic nerve is reflected in gradual progression of blindness. The optic nerve is part of the brain. There are a number of different diseases that cause glaucoma besides those that clog the drain. And it's been referred to as normal tension glaucoma because the glaucoma occurs at what are statistically normal pressures rather than high pressures.
Interesting.
And that's where sleep apnea, atrial fibrillation, migraine, Raynaud's, vascular dysfunction all fall into that area. And they affect the optic nerve the same way the high pressure does. So glaucoma is really a brain disease, not an eye disease.
This is interesting. This is really quite different than what we have always talked about and thought glaucoma really was. So when you have this normal pressure glaucoma, where intraocular pressure appears to be normal from, say, a puff tonometry reading or something like that, but yet you see all of the progressions of the disease and optic nerve, but also the retina is affected by glaucoma as well, right?
Well, the surface layer of the retina, the ganglion cells that transmit the impulses, the visual impulses to the brain, are what die in glaucoma, not okay. the rods and cones.
Okay.
And when I was training, there were people, I mean, you know, people who I trained with, there were people didn't believe in normal tension glaucoma. They always thought an equated glaucoma with high pressure. Well, one third of my patients have normal tension glaucoma, and it's actually 90% in Japan. And that's how this yoga business got started.
Okay, okay.
I wanted to mention that and go into it.
Yes, let's talk about this. Lots of people take yoga today, and lots of people have glaucoma, and some of them may have normal pressure glaucoma, so they haven't been diagnosed with frank glaucoma, but clearly they are susceptible to the degeneration of the eye. What role does yoga play, and which of the movements in yoga are the most harmful?
Well, this started 35 years ago. 35 years ago, we had a patient who had pressures of 15, which is normal tension, and she had tunnel vision. She was legally blind from glaucoma. She had just little islands of vision left. And her pressure was 15, and she had been to 10 different institutions. And nobody could figure out what was going on. Well, it turned out, on questioning, she had been doing yoga for 20 years and standing on her pressure, on her head for 20 minutes a day. So we measured her standing on her head. We had the equipment for it. Her pressure went to 60.
Mm.
When she was lying flat, her pressure went to 30. When she was sitting up, it was 15. Well, we got all excited. We measured everybody in the department. My pressure went from 16 to 32. Everybody's pressure pretty much doubled. So that started us on, well, we wanted to study different kinds of yoga positions. So it took 25 years to really get the study off the ground and get, enough interest and yoga centers to cooperate. And what we did was study four different head down positions. Don't ask me for the Indian names, but like downward dog.
Yeah.
And these are all positions where the head is lower than the body.
Right.
It was a small number of patients, but what we found was that the pressure about doubled when they went into these positions. And it was the same for people with or without glaucoma. So everybody, when they go into these positions, appear to increase their intraocular pressure. I've been told also, I don't do yoga myself. I've watched videos of it, and I don't think I could even get into those positions. But that these positions are only maintained for a couple of minutes.
Right.
A couple of minutes may not be enough to cause glaucomatous damage or progression just on the basis of the pressure rise. But what is the acuteness? If they bend over and the pressure goes up suddenly and then they get out of the position, the pressure goes back to normal. What is the effect of that sudden rise in pressure and then sudden reversal? I don't know. This needs to be, you know, studied.
Right.
We certainly know that the inverted position, they used to have the gravity machines for your back. You'd swing upside down. People's pressures went way up. People also got retinal detachments from using those gravity machines. We had another patient who was a hostage in Iran, way back in 79, who was hung upside down every day for 8 hours, and he had pressures of 50 and was, blind.
But okay, so let's talk about something. In healthy individuals that do not have glaucoma and also don't have normal pressure glaucoma, these, inversions, will cause an acute rise in intraocular pressure. But this doesn't mean that it's damaging the eye, right?
Well, it depends what you mean by inversions. If in these yoga positions, I would say if you have normal eyes, you have no glaucoma, your pressure is normal, most likely it's harmless. But there are cases, this just coming to light, and a lot of people don't realize this. Spinal surgery. In spinal surgery, they have people lie with their head below the rest of their body. And the same with prosthetic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out in spinal surgery, some people have come out of spinal surgery blind and markedly elevated pressures. So there's a lot of positional effects in glaucoma. that are just beginning to be explored. For instance, 80% of people with asymmetric glaucoma sleep on the side of the worst eye. And that means people who are sleeping, let's say your right eye is worse. And if you sleep on your right side, there's a tendency while you're sleeping to push your face into the pillow.
Sure.
Or rest your eye on the back of your hand. And that was studied about 20 years ago, but never really published. It was never published that the pressure could go up to into the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people sleeping with shields in certain cases. There are these positional effects. People who lie flat can get a rise in pressure. And we have some people sleeping on wedge pillows, 20-degree wedge pillows, so the pressure doesn't go up as much. And then that all leads into the Valsalva maneuver. You know,
right.
The Valsalva maneuver where you just try to blow out through your nose and mouth, but don't let any air out. And your pressure can go up. And we've had patients, we haven't formally studied this, except for weightlifting. We had patients, where we tested weightlifting who bench pressed a couple of 100 pounds, and some of them had, rises in pressure. We never got around to doing it in glaucoma patients. I tested some patients, in middle of push-ups, and their pressure can go way up. There was one paper, there are now a few papers on it, but the trumpet players, it's a high, it's wind instrument.
Well, look at, remember Dizzy Gillespie, when he would blow a trumpet, not only would his cheeks blow out like a bullfrog, but his eyes would bulge out too.
Well, the pressures, it turned out, there were people, Ted Krupin in Chicago, published this first, and then Joel Schumann in Pittsburgh, and a couple of others, that patients came in with normal tension glaucoma, and it turned out they played the trumpet. Well, if you take a person and have him play the trumpet and measure his pressure while he's playing the trumpet, the pressure can go to 27 to 30, or 30.
Mm.
And if they're playing all day long or practicing all day long, it was hypothesized that these patients developed normal tension glaucoma, or what looked like normal tension glaucoma, because their pressures were normal when they weren't playing the trumpet, through the Valsalva maneuver.
Let's do this. We have to take a commercial break. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Dr. Robert Rich to talk more about the things that you're doing. If you have glaucoma, that could actually be not in your best interest. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhumancurcumin Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Robert Rich. He's the director of glaucoma research at a place that I went to when I was a kid, the New York Eye and Ear. My mom used to take me there whenever I had problems in my nose and my ears, which was frequent when I was a kid. Anyway, we're talking about the role of actually certain movements, not just yoga. Lots of us in this audience lift heavy weights, including myself, and lots of us use inversion tables, including myself. So, Dr. Rich, one of the things that I've learned over 11 years of doing this show, that there are pathological changes in the body and physiological changes in the body, and the latter are seen as positive. They're seen as an upregulation of the infrastructure, if you will, as a part of the adaptation process. So I know that I am just an N equals one individual, but I have been lifting very heavy weights for 15, 16 years now. I mean, I'm squatting and deadlifting hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And I get in an inversion table every night before bed for about 6 minutes to stretch my spine a little bit after the day's affairs. And I also wear contact lenses, so I go for regular eye exams. And my puff tonometry test is usually around 15 to 16 millimeters of mercury. So is this something that the healthy population shouldn't be concerned about, but those who suffer and have already been diagnosed with glaucoma should know about? Or is this something that everybody should be looking at?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going into different positions like inversion, or you're lifting weights, and you can lift a lot more than I can, that sounds, then your pressure may be going up at those times, but when your pressure is tested in an office, when you're sitting up, it could be normal. And that's why people didn't believe in normal tension glaucoma for so long, because they'd take a pressure, and the pressure would be 15, and the patient would be told, "Oh, you're fine, there's no problem." But they never had visual fields, and they never had their optic disc examined. And you really need your optic disc examined to see if glaucoma is present.
Is that something they do through a slit lamp biomicroscopy, or is that something invasive?
No, it's not invasive. With a slit lamp and with a lens, the thing is, a lot of patients didn't have it done. Patients had pressure taken, and they were told the pressure was normal, and then nobody ever looked at the disc. Nobody ever did a visual field. I'll tell you what I'll offer you. You bring the weights into my office, and we'll take your pressure while you're lifting them and see what happens.
Well, I'm sure it goes up. I mean, I know through Valsalva that my blood pressure goes up to what would be considered a level that would either cause an ischemic event or something similar to the average person, but I also don't suffer a stroke or heart attack during that moment. And that's my point about pathological changes to the body and physiological changes to the body. Over decades of heavy lifting, the plumbing has upregulated, my muscles have upregulated, soft tissue has upregulated, bone density has upregulated, and perhaps my ability to withstand these pressures that would cause a stroke in another person don't affect me any longer.
Yeah, well, look, weight training is very good if you don't develop glaucoma from it. Aerobic exercise is really good for glaucoma. 45 minutes on a treadmill four times a week will lower your pressure like your temperature, you know, regulator. You'll lower your pressure stat about 3 points. And then when you do exercise on an acute basis, it'll lower it another 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
There are dietary factors. There are so many factors that are just being discovered to be important in glaucoma. And it's a related, like Alzheimer's, there are cellular changes, oxidative damage. That I use a lot of supplements on patients. The only proven for 100 years, the only proven treatment or method of treatment is to lower intraocular pressure. But if it's already 14, what are you going to do? You know, you can do surgery. I use a lot of supplements and antioxidants in patients because I see glaucoma as also an oxidative disease. At the cellular level. But it's important. If I had to make one point, it's not just getting your pressure measured and saying, okay, your pressure is normal, you're fine, you don't have glaucoma. I have people come in all the time with very severe visual field damage who had been told they were doing fine because their pressure was always normal because their back of the eye wasn't examined. And they didn't have a visual field. Everybody should have some kind of baseline visual field at one point or another. Right. And a look at the optic disc.
Biomicroscopy is so simple. They don't even have to dilate pupils any longer because now they have this computerized version of it that actually does like a whole topography of the back of the eye. But every time I get my eyes examined, they always take the slit lamp and they look inside. And so,
slit lamp looks at the front of the eye. Unless you're dilated, and then you can look at the back of the eye also with the lenses.
Right. So intraocular pressure is an interesting term because we have aqueous and vitreous humor that fill the two chambers of the eye separated by the crystalline lens. But the reality is that the eye is, other than the outermost portion of the eye, is avascular. So blood pressure shouldn't affect it. But what I'm thinking is affecting
it. Well,
I want to suppose something. I want you to tell me what your opinion of this is.
Mm.
We are in a hyperinsulinemic world today, and fat is being stored in places that fat has never been stored before. And we are seeing people who are having fat deposits at the back of the eye, behind the eye, where the optic nerve exits the skull and goes into the back of the eye. And we see people who are actually starting to develop these bulging eye syndromes because they're so obese, they're getting fat in places that we never developed fat before. What role do you think this has in the development of intraocular pressure? Because let's face it, pressure is relative. If you press on the back of the ball, the front of the ball becomes harder.
That's a little out of my field, and I don't know any publications on. And you know, if you're really obese, there are a lot of other problems, and that can predispose to glaucoma too.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that the newest thing is intracranial pressure. Okay. Pressure surrounding your brain, the spinal fluid pressure.
Right.
If you have a high pressure in the eye, high intraocular pressure, and normal spinal fluid pressure, then that's a gradient that can cause damage to the optic nerve. If you have normal intraocular pressure, but you have low spinal fluid pressure, then that gets the same kind of gradient.
Ah, interesting.
Another cause for normal tension glaucoma. And just to squeeze in, you mentioned blood pressure. High blood pressure is on and off about glaucoma, you know, 50.
Yeah.
But low blood pressure at night, Everybody dips. Everybody's blood pressure dips 10% or so.
Right.
If you don't dip, you're prone to stroke. But if you over-dip, you dip 20%, you're prone to glaucoma. See, I think normal tension glaucoma is a nighttime disease, and high-tension glaucoma is a daytime disease.
Interesting. So it's relative to the other pressures. Interesting.
Yeah, low blood pressure at night, positional changes, pushing your eye on your hand or the pillow, sleep apnea, all of those lead to glaucoma progression at night.
Wow. Boy, this is becoming
really complex.
Yes, very, very complex.
I think it was simple. It's not. It's really complicated.
So what you hope that people start doing is paying attention to their optic disc, even if they're getting puff tonometry readings that say, hey, you don't have high intraocular pressure. They should be looking at that disc anyway to see if there is any degrading or problems there, right?
Yeah, and puff tonometry, some of them are accurate and some of them are not so accurate.
Yeah. I remember when I went to school, I was in the ophthalmic dispensing department at City University of New York on Jay and Borough Hall back in the day. And I remember when we first went to puff tonometry, because before that they actually had something that actually touched the cornea, and that was even harder.
That's what we use, Goldmann tonometry.
Yes.
And that's not to be annoying. That's been the gold standard for 60 years. There are new types of tonometers coming out based on a very accurate puff tonometer, laser tonometry. Because there are various factors that can affect the reading on the Goldmann tonometer that touches the cornea, but that's still a standard for measuring pressure.
Interesting. We've come to the end of the interview. I want to thank you for talking about this because we have, like I said, there's a lot of people in this audience that exercise with what we considered extremes to the general population. And we need to make sure that they're protecting their ocular health. Very, very important.
I would just be careful of inversion exercise, those gravity inversion machines. You're welcome to bring yours here, too, and I can measure your pressure while you're upside down.
I'll come and spend the week at the New York Eye and Ear. It'll bring back memories of when I was.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll bring back memories of when I was a kid in Brooklyn. Yeah. Listen, Dr. Rich, thanks so much for being on the show today.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Take care.
All right, so there you have it. We have to thank a lot of guests today. We have to thank Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour talking about BCAAs. Don't forget to check out anything that you want to learn about All American EFX. You can go directly to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad there and watch for his new BCAA product to come out soon. Also, we need to thank Dr. Dan Rudick for coming on and talking about a broken circadian clock and its effects on blood pressure. Interesting themes, the last interview and that interview. Very, very interesting. Also, we want to thank, Brianna Taylor for coming on and talking about the links in irregular sleep schedules and adverse health in women. So you ladies out there who care about your health, you want to go to sleep at the same time every day, weekend or not, don't stay up late. That's what TiVo's for. Tape it and watch it tomorrow. That's what I do. When Elisa and I want to watch something and it doesn't come on until 9 o'clock, there's no, hey, you want to stay up late. Elisa says to me, hey, tape that so we can watch it later. That's it. You don't have to stay up later than you want to. And, of course, thank you so much to Dr. Robert Rich for coming on and talking about the role of not just yoga, inversion, also anything that raises pressures in the body can affect you. And if you have glaucoma, it may not be a good idea. Also, get the optic disc checked. When you go to the eye doctor, let them dilate your pupils and use what's known as a slit lamp to look and make sure you say to them, hey, take a look at my optic discs also. I want to know if they look good. That way you don't have to worry about this normal pressure glaucoma. Great show. Thank you for listening, and we will see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the